Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of Black Belt Wall Street, New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am speaking to you live from Washington, D.C. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Bilal, and greetings to our audience. How are you doing, my brother?
Alaikum salam, Brother Aziz. How are you doing this evening?
Good, brother. Good. Doing well. Glad to hear your voice, and glad for the show to be tonight too, bro.
Oh man, looking forward to the show. You hear a little music in the background, Aziz. That's the way I'm feeling this evening. So nice, comfortable, and groovy way.
Yeah.
Ramadan's coming up. It's got very, very good. I guess that goodness I'm saying, I feel very blessed. Let Allah bless us to celebrate another And you know, we said celebrate and we're fasting. Some think we're going through just about the worst thing that a human being could go through, but we take it as a blessing. And like I said, we're very thankful.
Very thankful, brother, to be able to fast. Yes, some look at it as a hardship and a difficulty, but for sure, it's a blessing.
It's always a blessing, Brother Aziz. And I'm telling you, brother, this is our eighth year. And I can't think of a show that you and I haven't done for the last 8 years. I just haven't appreciated just being on the air with you.
Yes.
You know, so,
Yes, brother.
We're going to wait for our audience to come in, giving them a little a time to come in. And I'm just going to turn the music up a little bit, giving everybody a moment to come in, Brother Aziz.
Absolutely. Great. Sound like the Nat King Cole.
Who else could it possibly be on a night like this?
Nat the Hat Coat. Never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. We have to remember this is a Women's History Month also. And there is so much that the black women have done and accomplished. It might take up the whole show almost talking about what the sisters have done, how they help us on our show. You know what I mean? Just so much that our black women, we owe to our black women.
You know, well, Aziz, man, you brought up a subject there. I don't even know why that's not on top tonight.
Yeah, I don't know why.
No idea why that's not on top.
Our
sisters.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I think we just turned it into our topic, unannounced. I think
yeah.
A topic unannounced, brother, because you're honoring our sisters.
Yeah,
man, I can't tell you what type of honor it is, but because of where would we be? You know, the sisters, I would say, Aziz, for at least last 30 years or so, has been the backbone of our community. And I say for the last 30 years or so, because it used to be the black man.
Yes, used to be.
30 years or so, it's the sisters. And they was our backbone.
I know up until about 73 years ago, for 73 years, I know one woman that was showing up my backbone. Whenever the times got low, the feelings got down, I called mama. You know, have a talk with mama, you know.
Yeah.
And mama would tell me, to give me the best advice and say, have a talk with God, you know. Pray to God, you know.
And
like you, Brother Bilal, my mother was a Christian, but I know my mother was a good person. She was a good person and the ideal Christian lady that they say Christians are supposed to be about. And my aunts and most all of my female relatives, brother, and that back in the time when I was coming up and that's the way they were. They were some hard-working women, man. And I know one thing I didn't like, but they did it because they had to. And a lot of times you could hear them talk about it, and that was working in these white folks' homes, you know, being they house cleaners and cooks and taking care of their babies and stuff, and at the same time, you know, keeping their own household up. You know, that's a lot of work.
Brother, like
I'm sure they went to bed many a night tired.
Yes. I don't know if they ever got that proper rest.
Yes, brother. Yes.
Like I said, when it comes to the sisters. When it comes to our black females, and that's who I have to speak on, is our African-American females. And the beautiful thing about our African-American females, although they're exposed to a lot of lush and all of this and that, they've always kept their dignity. Always. Our sisters are so dignified.
Yes. That's right.
They're the epitome of dignity in this country, is that African-American sister.
That's right.
And I would say most of them.
That's right.
We can't sell nothing. So you're right. Our topic did change this evening. And and anybody else who wished to join in, our board is coming in a little slow this evening. That's all right too.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, because women, the roles that women have played, you know, as far as we can go back, when it comes to economics, you know, we see that the first one of us African American that was a billionaire was a black woman.
Yeah.
Well, that was known legally.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's saying a lot. You know, one of the things that I've seen over the years is when it comes to these hair care supply places for our people primarily, hair places, I find that we should be owning them and we don't. And that's bad. Every time we see one pop up, a beauty supply place, you know, African-American, we'd be pouring in there, but by far, we're not the ones that own those businesses. And we're supplying some other.
I am totally convinced. And I am totally convinced. And as you can see tonight, we're just going to carry on a conversation between ourselves. Any can join in as they wish. But I am totally convinced that the reason that you won't see the sisters, because there's a lot of them in the business, but you, like I said, when it comes to African-Americans being in business, we do business in communities, and the white communities is so much bigger and so much broader than we are, we become damn near invisible in doing business. This is why it's so important that the African-American take their business back to their own communities. That's where their clientele is. That's where their clientele is at anyway. And it's a wonderful clientele because we're probably the biggest. I know we're the biggest consumers in this country.
Absolutely.
We're consumers. Redlining forced us to be consumers. So again, if we take the advantage of what they tried to put on us as a disadvantage by redlining our black communities, we can now take that as an advantage and go back home.
You turn around.
And now your business is going to stand out. Because the truth of the matter is, Brother Aziz, I'm totally convinced black folks want to do business with each other.
Yes, we have brothers and sisters that in all the kind of businesses that we have in this country, in America, every trade, technical, IT business there is, we got many, many black engineers in this country. You know, mechanical, chemical, electrical, all those types of engineers. You know, water engineers with water and stuff. So it's like this could be, it should be, a testing ground, and not only a testing ground, a proven ground for our people to get together. And at some certain point, when we unload out of here, we'll have everything we need to rebuild, and that's including building airplanes, fighter airplanes.
You name it.
Yes. All of this.
Brother, just think what it would be once the African-American moves back into his own community before while he still have a chance. Believe it, they want to take the grounds away from us.
Yes.
They don't want us to have any grounds. They don't want us to have any land.
Right, and we just don't want to lose that land that we do have, especially in the South, again, you know. And I'm seeing a lot of the Northerners are coming South, brother, buying up a lot of land.
That's what I mean about if we can still have any land. You know whose land they're buying. Even in many times, they're not even buying it, they're stealing it. You know, they're stealing it, calling it a foreclosure on blacks, and whites can now take over.
I do know, Brother Bilal, and you probably agree with me on this one, that when hard times come down and they last for a period of time, 2, 3 years, 4 years, you can go back over if you go back and look over the tax records, there's a lot of people behind in their taxes. And this is where the ripoff artists come in. They come in and see the blacks are behind in these certain sections of the town, they pay the taxes. Well, before, you know, when they pay the taxes, then you're indebted to them for paying your taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Then when they pass.
All kinds of bad words.
Yeah. And in some places, like D.C. and Virginia, I don't know about Maryland, which I should. I live in the state. But I do know in those states, the one in D.C., 18 months or something like that, if you haven't paid the people after they pay it, they can put a lien on the property and then take it from you.
Oh, yeah.
Just for that. A matter of fact, in Alabama, too, brother, a person across the street from where my mother lived, were diagonally across the street, but on the main highway. They didn't tell nobody in the community that they were behind on their taxes, and it was $1,000.
How about it?
Well, taxes were paid by a white person. They got the property after a few years, and that they set up a chicken, a big carrier out there selling fried chicken and other meals and that. And it lasted for 15 years or 20 years. And then today now, the property has been sold again. That same, it was about an acre. That same acre now is going to be a big medical office.
Yeah.
And all because, and all was sold for $1,000. Somebody, because they didn't tell nobody else in the community. And this happens a lot in the African-American community. They'll fall behind on their taxes, and they won't let somebody in the community that know that they're behind on their taxes and they need some help.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, anything could be worked out. I'll give you a good example. A sister down in Florida, when my mother was living there, fell behind on her taxes and that, and needed a little money. And she was an elderly person by my mother's age at the time. And she said that if my brother and I were to pay her taxes and give her $20,000, I mean $10,000, and let her stay in the house until she died or whatever, you know. So we did that. Well, what happened was the lady got shook diabetes so bad they had to cut off her legs and she had to go in a nursing home. Well, this transaction that we did with her was before all of this happened.
Yeah.
This was when she was in good shape moving around. Well, anyway, the people at the nursing home tried to make her think that we, you know, mistreated her or whatever, but lady name was Clark, Ms. Clark, and she said, no, they're not trying to rip me off or do nothing wrong. We made this deal a long time ago. That is their property. So they wanted to get the house and try to, you know, use that to pay for whatever. And that's what they do to a lot of our people. They'll get them seniors in these nursing homes or whatever, know that they got some property. And the nursing home will snatch that up. So that's one thing.
If you don't have long-term
care. Go ahead, brother. Mm-hmm.
If you don't have long-term care, then and you go into a facility, you don't even have to be that poor. Just because you don't have long-term care and you go into a facility, you have to surrender all of your assets. All of your assets, anything you own, any monies you own, have in the banks, they go back a period of about 2 or 3 years on you. So it ain't like you can say I'm a dispense of my properties, then I'm going to go into the nursing home. No, the nursing home law says they can go back a period of 3 or 4 years, and any assets that you own within those periods are still considered your assets. And those assets have to be forfeited over to the federal, they say the federal government, but to the institutions. Everything you own, all but $250. Everything else they can take. And only thing you are allotted is $250, I guess that's to get some mail-in stamps or something to send to your relatives. But they can confiscate about all of your assets if you don't have long-term care protection to take care of yourself, and long-term care insurance is not cheap. So they know that only the wealthy are going to have the long-term care. And so the average person, once they get to a point with disability and they can't be home cared for anymore, if they have any assets and you were looking to be heirs to the inheritance of those assets, you can forget it. It belongs, it's gone towards social services. And social services, they can take it all. And the only thing they cannot touch, there's one asset you can own and they cannot touch, and that is annuities.
Mm-hmm.
They can touch everything else, but they can't touch that annuity, cannot be probated.
Mm-hmm.
No. So that's the only thing, the only way they can get that annuity is you give it to them. But they can't go in and take the annuity. So that's about the only thing.
That is good information.
But everything else, bank accounts and anything else, any kind of assets that you own that can be turned into cash, your cars, I don't care what it is, your Rolex watch that you like so much, all of that can be taken and turned into cash. And,
that should be criminal.
And well, it is criminal because said, who can afford long-term care insurance?
Yeah.
And,
you know we're just fortunate as veterans, you know, that we could get that, you know.
Yeah.
But other than that, it costs a fortune, you know. But because we're veterans, especially, you know, 100% veterans, you know, that's one thing easy. But for our wives, that's a whole different story.
Well, you know,
I've always said that. Uh-huh.
I have friends, and their parents was pretty well off. Well-to-do. You know, Dad was an architectural engineer, and Mom, she was pretty high up in the government. And he was always well-to-do. But when Mom's was left alone, Dad, deceased Mom, has grown of age the last two or three years. They are her boys has been bringing in a private nurse because mother needs full-time care at home.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what an RN costs you to live in, a living RN costs?
No, I'd imagine over $5,000 a month.
I don't even, an RN makes about $80,000 a year, at least. So if you're bringing her to an RN, to live in RN, and it's costing you between $80,000 and $90,000 a year, it's going to be better than $5,000 a month.
Right.
You see?
And more like $7,000 a month.
They've been paying this out now for about the last 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
So you see what's happening to those assets that they thought that one day be theirs, and monies that Mom's have in the bank, because like I said, Mom's pretty well off to do. But these medical expenses, and remember, that's just the nurse. We're talking about the other care. You still got to pay for your house, to live in your house, and all the expenses of the house. So it's easy to see you paying a couple $100,000 a year.
Well, with my mother,
assets.
At the time, you know, we was able to get her out of, you know, the rehab place and bring her home. And what we had to do was, they had, you know, as far as somebody for Medicare or something like that, they'd send somebody in there for a couple hours, maybe 3 days a week. So we were blessed to be able to get a family member that was able to do that and then hire some other members in the community that did that kind of work. And we was able to kind of balance it out. So my mom had about $4,000 a month coming in. And fortunately down there, you know, the kind of help she needed wasn't an RN, just someone to actually, you know, help her clean up, something like that, as well as cooking. So I had a former sister-in-law that wanted to do that just to come up and stay with mom. And that was a real blessing. So we were able to not have to do just what you were saying, give up all of that and have mama put somewhere where we know she wouldn't have last long. But as a result of doing that, we were able to give her a better quality life, you know, in a going down time than it would have been in a nursing home. And you're right, brother. That's what they wanted if she would have stayed there.
Yeah.
We start after talking about her assets and then her bank account and all that. We said, oh, no.
Yeah. Go broke real fast. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pity how this country treats its seniors.
Yeah.
And take the advantage of them.
Well, the Veterans Administration is just being put up. They, you know, it was an announcement on a national announcement on national TV, I'm going to say, to be kind of precise, no more than 2 weeks ago. The Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs was on national TV saying that they know this has been going on for a long time, that the black veterans have been discriminated against, and that they're going to do something. They appointed a special commission now to look into discrimination that's been, you know, put upon black veterans. And that's like another one of those America's shocks. Like, they didn't know that when, as we've been discussing for the last month on our program, they didn't know that. Who do you think started the damn redlining?
Yeah.
The government itself started the redlining of African-American neighborhoods. So who wouldn't have known that the veteran was getting discriminated? This is just a further carry-on of us not getting our fair treatment as citizens of this country. But however, giving more than the normal citizens of this country give to try to prove that we're worthy of this. It's about time people have to prove that they're worthy of us, i.e., you know, these banks and businesses that don't do nothing for us, and the politicians. It's like
they all in bed together. White supremacists, and they all in bed together. The same, like I said,
yes.
The red line, you and I both know, and this is why the black farmers aren't getting any monies or getting the right subsidies, is because they don't want to put large amounts of cash flow into the black communities. Cash flow
right. Means
that you can grow industriously in your business if there's cash
yes. Flow.
You can have your own banks, your own financial institutions, your own real estate brokerage, so forth and so on, if you had cash flow
yeah. Going
to your communities. So a large amounts of cash flow, and that's why you won't see them in any African-American community. is anywhere there can be a distribution of large amounts of cash flow. And, of course, those of us who become rich, and most of them are affluent and stuff like that, but they don't live, they don't want to live in the black community.
Right.
They want to live in the integrated communities. And,
right, they want to go to hell.
That's why getting on back to our females and honoring our females of and the females the recognitions for the month.
Yes.
The African American female because of what she's been denied. You know, when that old black athlete didn't have nothing. And he was living in the black community in what we call the hoods or what have you. He found comfort in the black female. But soon as he went
That's
off
right.
to his college and got his pro scholarship, he marries a white woman.
Yeah.
And but the black female, she still took care of home and took care of our communities. Even though you have to say she was denied because she should be the wives of all these black rich athletes. But again,
that's right.
That's what I mean about the black female. For the last, and I'll give it 20 or 30 years, because that's how long a lot of these young brothers now have been making millions of dollars contracts.
Right.
But the more
right.
millions they make is the more white women they marry. And the black female,
right.
what should have been hers, she was denied. But
right.
I'm crossing over, and there's no way you can't tell me if the black female wanted to cross over to marry someone out of her, I ain't going to say race because we all one race, but out of her skin color, let's say, she could easily do so. She's well desired. But
right.
I don't see nowhere in the world where our brown and black and darker skin feature of females are interested in this Caucasian. It's just our males, for some reason, favors other than someone than the beautiful Cleopatra.
Yeah, yeah, I know, brother. Yeah, and I used to say, I don't see how. I mean, you know, there have been sisters, brother, that you've seen. They make your heart flutter. They look so beautiful.
I'm serious.
And it's like, how do you look away at something else, somebody white, you know? Another thing, too, brother, a lot of the commercials that are on TV today, they're showing sisters with Caucasian men. These are family type settings, you know, whatever they're advertising, butter, oils, or whatever.
Yeah.
And they got the sister with the white boy.
Yeah.
You know, but very few picture you're going to see with a young brother with a young white girl. No.
Yeah.
They don't show that. You know, the commercials are meticulously engineered, you know, to influence and set a certain kind of mindset and try to start a trend or think this is the new trend now. This is the way of thinking. This is how things are going. And, well,
they want to break up the black family.
Yeah.
Especially take the male out of the family. And this is
that's
something
right.
that's going on systematically ever since slavery. You know,
right.
get rid of the male, but keep the female.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
so That's what it is to systematically break up the black family. But
this has to do with business. During the California Gold Rush, 2049 hasn't come yet. But anyway, 1849, California Gold Rush and all that there. Here it is, the law of the land. The law of the land, U.S. government law. Black folks cannot own gold. Cannot own gold. So the blacks that went for the gold rush and all that, they had to set up businesses like laundromats, bathhouses, things like that, that these nasty, dirty gold miners needed when they come from out there, you know, not bathing and cleaning up for months at a time, perhaps.
Yeah.
That's how our people made their money, like that. But the people that made the gold and that was allowed to own the gold, especially these scoundrels that were killing other people after they had mined their gold, and they just kill them and take it and think nothing of it. That's how they valued life.
But well, brother, what you're describing,
yeah.
it still exists all over Africa.
Yeah.
All over Africa.
That's right. That's right.
Diamonds, you got every kind of mineral you can think of. And African Americans, I don't see them being any, the Africans, I don't see them being any owners of all these richnesses that they have in their country, seeing it's being exploited by others. So
right.
The question, what you're describing, I guess, would still be asked,
yeah.
Why can't the Africans own their own gold? Why can't they own their own minerals? Why can't they sell their own diamonds? And all the other
yeah.
minerals that they have.
That
it's
is
just
correct, a, yeah.
Here in the United States, we've just advanced as African Americans, but still all around the world, what you're describing still exists.
That's correct. That's right.
It still exists.
You know, but at the same point, at the same time, when you have a governmental law saying that one group can own gold and the other can't, for the mere fact of me not being able to have any and you being able to have it, that puts you way, way ahead of me. Way, way ahead of me. And in some cases, and in most cases, I could never catch up with you ever.
And that's the intent. And you're only
yeah.
as an African, only as a black man, though, a black family.
Right.
Anyone else
yeah.
else over here, you can own all the gold and everything else. As a matter of fact, bring it with you. But,
right. Bring it with
you. I tell you, African American, they don't
mm-hmm.
want large amounts of monies in our communities. They want that monies to be sent to their communities. And because of redlining, we're forced to be consumers.
That's what it forces us to be. That's right.
We don't have any banks in our communities, which is unfortunate because, man, do you see what... I don't believe there are so many banks that are deregulated, and this came from the Trump administration. And the evidence of the danger of what Trump opened up, we saw
mm-hmm.
the evidence of it just a couple of days ago, the Silicon banks. And we can see on that, I mean, those are the ones who made the grieving move, the thieving move,
mm-hmm.
To take in millions and billions of dollars of deposits. But when the depositors come back and say, I want to withdraw some of my monies. We don't have the cash flow on hand. And the reason they don't have the cash flow on hand, they done took your deposits and invested it into, I don't know, I mean, markets all over the world, especially this Bitcoin stuff.
Yeah, which is unregulated.
Yeah, unregulated, which means unregulated. It's intended. I mean, you can take it. Take it.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing to stop you. Nothing at all to stop you.
I think that now we were talking something about this some time ago, Brother Lyle, and you had mentioned something about Bitcoin was an investment. Is that a different kind of investment from you investing in something else other than Bitcoin? I want to invest in a building project.
You don't know what you're really doing when you're investing in Bitcoin, because first of all, you're taking your American dollar and you're turning it into some sort of foreign currency. They call it Bitcoin, but you're turning it into, in other words, once you invest into that particular market, your American dollar is not even yours anymore. It's not, matter of fact, your bank don't even have it. It's into foreign banks. And which foreign banks, you don't know. You don't even know what the Bitcoin is. But this is the kind of risk.
Wow.
I mean, high risk. You ain't talking, risk that shit, folks should be going to jail. Very volatile.
Yeah.
And, and the thing about it, how many banks, because there's all kinds, you look around and see how many new banks we have now, small banks in these small communities. Farmers might open up a bank. And all of a sudden, and see, in African Americans, we're forced to put all of our monies into their banks. Brother, they can take everything we got, and I'm saying African Americans, I stutter, because as you know, I'm a licensed financial planner, have been for years, over 40, 45 years. And I stutter because, again, the amount of monies that we put into just banks, brother, it easily comes up to a trillion dollars is moderate. That's a moderate to say we put at least $1 trillion a year into banks. And now these banks that we put our monies into, and we're forced to put it there because, again, there's no black banks in our communities.
Right.
So you're going to send your monies to whatever bank is in your community, and some of these little banks, you don't even know the name of them. But they're owned by investors right there in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are going to be white investors. And these investors, I'm saying, there's no regulations. So we can take every dime you have. And this is, and right now, the markets, we're on some real thin ice right now, skating on real thin ice. Because if the and you're talking about white folks, you ain't not necessarily talking so much about black folks now. If white folks don't have confidence and their money's being secured in banks, they're going to go in and take their money. And these banks cannot afford a run on that. It was a very, very large run.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, just think, and they're investigating all of this now. But, see, this is the thing that during the 20s, when we had the market crash, this is the same activities that went on that started the Great Depression in the early 20s.
Uh-huh.
The same activities, this type of fraud was going on, and when white folks got wind that they was about to lose this or that, they went running to their banks and their markets and stuff and started closing their accounts. And, of course, this caused the dollar to be worth just nothing. You could just burn it up because it wasn't worth a dime. There was just too many folks calling in their monies. And this could happen again. This could happen in the next few days.
Wow, man.
If we lost confidence in our bank system, and I say we as African Americans, we don't have any other choice.
Right.
Even if we knew that, we know they're stealing the money. White folks are the ones who are running to the bank saying, hey, is my money safe? If not, I'm going to take it.
Right.
We can't do that. We're going to take our monies to the bank tomorrow, the next day, or whenever we get it. Why? Because there ain't no banks in our communities.
Yeah, that's one of the problems.
And the amount of monies that we deposit into the banks, we should have some of the biggest banks in the world right in our own African-American communities. Do you realize if you... on a 12-month period, if you put in $1 trillion into a financial institution in a 12-month period, do you know how many hundreds of billions of dollars you're putting into that financial institution every month?
Hmm.
In order to come up with $1 trillion. That's the kind of monies we're putting into these banks every month. And I just round it out on a month. Of course, we go into activity every day, but I'm saying within a month period, how many, in order to put $1 trillion in, and I'm doing hypothetically, I don't have a calculator or nothing in front of me, but again, being in finance, you sort of round off stuff. But if I was just looking at a round-off figure, and you're talking about $1 trillion in a 12-month period, I'm looking hypothetically, 200 billion a month or better.
Yeah.
In order to make that kind of deposit within a 12-month period,
about $3.2 billion, something like that, wasn't it?
Yes, I mean every month, and this you're talking billions, 200 billion,
mm-hmm.
200 billions a month. Please, do you realize? And our listeners, I got all the mics open, so we're having a general conversation, brothers and sisters. So I got the mics open. You can join us. But do you realize that type of money is being deposited? And like I said, ain't nothing we can do about the white man taking our monies because we can't go to the bank and withdraw my monies, and I'm going to put it into the bank in my own community, the bank that we own. We don't own any.
No.
And another thing, $200 billion a month in deposits. $200 billion. I can't even think of one African country, you're talking about a whole continent, but I can't think of not one African company that can report $100 billion a year. And we're talking about $200 billion a month.
Well, you know, but that's, like you say, it's more than that because that's calculated kind of much more or less on spending, what they say the spending is, you know.
We haven't even got any consumer spending. Now, we know we got the projections on the consumer spending. We know that they're projecting that to be $1.8 trillion this year. Now, that's consumer. That has nothing to do with the deposits that we're making.
So we know, like you were saying, that's over that, you know, $200 billion a month, which is
that's more than what we're depositing. That's what we're spending in right. Just going out here spending consumers' rent and all the other stuff that we pay to live in an integrated community. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we start taking our assets back to our own communities. Because we have it. My goodness.
Especially down south.
We have it, but we simply give it away. And ain't nobody saying anything about turning it around because most of it's coming from our churches. Let me tell you, that was straight up and down. The amount of money that those churches deposit into the bank. We wouldn't have no problem with the Farmers Association and our growing our own crops. We wouldn't have no problems with having a business entities all over the country. We wouldn't have any problems with having our own banks and financial institutions all over our community. If we would and keep our assets in our communities and make our assets grow our communities. But nobody's trying to. I mean, and the frightening thing, and the things that's upsetting, you hear this destruction going on right now on the news as you turn on the news, and I don't see any African Americans being alarmed about this. And you're talking about if a depression set in, and you don't have nothing, we don't even have land to where we can grow a crop. What else are you going to have other than starvation? And not only African-Americans, but poor white folks. See, the poor white folks and the majority of the country is low income, black folks and white folks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The only difference is they tell white folks that you're a little better because of your skin tone, and we're going to give you, rather than $8 an hour, we're going to give you $10 an hour, both of you living in poverty. But they got the old white man, got him on the trick saying, you're better because, you know, you're a white person. Well, let me tell you something. That billionaire, that millionaire, and that upper middle class, they don't give a damn about the skin colors. They just want to keep those skin colors and that type of a hate going on so they can do what they're doing to us. Where do you think this inflation comes from?
Greed on top of greed.
That's where it came from. 3 years ago, you didn't hear a damn thing. 3 years ago, not 3 years, let me go back. About a year and a half ago, we had an inflation rate of daggone near 10%.
Okay.
Today, that inflation rate is down to 6%. Now, you tell me what, and I can tell you what created, I mean, I have my predictions, what created the inflation. You have to remember, after the pandemic, the Biden's administration, he did a little different than the Obama's administration. Obama's administration, after Trump and then went in there, not Trump, Bush went in there and busted and broke the country. The Obama's administration dispensed it. $800 billion, but it went to the big businesses. Obama's thing was that if he sent the money to big businesses. Big businesses would take care of us all. Well, you see what big business did with the money, and plus they cut the taxes, told them they didn't have to pay no taxes. And so big business has been making the average large corporation in this country, revenues is coming in way over $200 billion a year. Way over $200 billion a year. And why they have so much money? They wasn't putting nothing back into the society. And then we was on low incomes. You see, in order for a capitalist society to work, you must have a lot of
money.
You have to have a lot of low income. Like I said, when it comes to low income, your majority is a low-income white folks and low-income black folks. And low-income, anybody else who has low income, those are the ones that keep a capitalist society and keep the rich getting richer, the middle class getting richer, and the upper middle class getting richer. All of them are doing better when you have low income. Now, a Biden administration, after the pandemic, Biden didn't put his monies into big business. He gave the monies to the consumers, the everyday peoples.
Right.
And what happened is that by investing these funds into the low income, now you have folks who was on poverty and welfare. These folks now are bringing in $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month because of the stimulus package that's been awarded to them according to their families and what have you. So you have all this cash flow in the low-income communities, both black folks and white folks. And what does this do for the rich? That means now that the low income can live the same way you do. They can go to the same restaurants you go to. They can entertain. They can drive the same cars. They can even buy some of the same homes that you buy, live in the same apartment developments that you live in because they got this cash flow, and plus wages have gone up. So, again, this is where your inflation comes in. Because the rich wants to control and get that cash flow, get it dispensed, first of all, by raising these interest rates, making everything much higher, $6 for a dozen of eggs and what have you. They want to, they're trying to get rid of this cash flow that has been given into the communities. And by getting rid of this cash flow, now they're saying that the welfare, they're even going to cut back on the welfare. They're going to even make it so you really ain't bringing in nothing. And so now but you can only squeeze and play that inflation game so high until you start getting chaos. And especially with this bank thing going on now, playing this inflation game is not the best interest of the rich and famous. So again, you see your inflation, all that squeezing you for your cash. Well, let's ease up on them. All of a sudden, inflation goes down to 6% overnight, and they say it's going to drop a little more. So again, they say we got to take the squeeze off of them. You see, brothers and sisters, that's what I mean about African Americans. We got to get away from this integration stuff. It ain't done nothing but ruin us, and it's going to do worse if we don't go back home and put our businesses and our homes back in our communities and start saving our land and, biggest thing, saving the black farmers. Boy, the day that you let those black farmers go,
that's right.
Ain't no saying we're going to build our communities no more, because without farming and without land, what you going to build on? You're going to go up to the space center and build something at the space center? Because you ain't going to have nothing here on this earth. White folks are trying to grab up all the land any way they can get it.
That's right.
So again, like I said, our mics are open, brothers and sisters. It ain't like we're just trying to dominate this. We know we got this. And we're asking you, our mics are open. Like I said, if you can hear us, we can hear you, and we want to hear
you.
We need this. Listen, like I said, our community is on life support. I mean, real life support.
Yeah.
And if we don't do something, and the first thing we have to do is we're going to have to save our dollar bills. Our dollar bills has got to come back to our communities, and it's got to stay in our communities. We can start, if we're going to saving over $200 billion a month in white banks, just think of $200 billion, how many financial institutions we can start next week. All we got to do is go to our leaders, our so-called leaders who are robbing us, and say, look, enough is enough. These monies that we put into these institutions and what have you, these monies was meant to build our communities. And if we don't see you building our communities rather than building these buildings and these humongous churches that you're saying you can hold look like football stadiums, we don't need that. We need shopping centers.
Yeah.
We need farmers. And we need all the other businesses that black folks are in business. Like you mentioned a while ago, Brother Aziz, coming on the show, is that our African-American sisters, and when it comes to the hairstyling and the hairstylists and whatever, we know that there are a few, but we don't know where they are. We ain't going to know where they are until they come back home. White folks are drowning them out in that white market they're trying to compete in. They don't stand a chance. Brothers and sisters, our mics are open. Brother Aziz, I'm going to shut up. Let somebody else talk. Our mics are open.
Well,
looks like nobody have nothing to say, so hey, I don't mind.
I guess have nothing to say.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Aisha. Good evening, everyone.
Welcome, assalamu, Sister Aisha.
Well, you know, Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz, and to the audience, I think that this is an interesting topic, the financial situation of our community. And I think that we need to continue this topic. And I would like to know if there are members of our audience, listening audience, who want to chime in and make a contribution to some of the things that Brother Bilal is talking about, bring maybe to our attention some of the ways that we are losing out in the financial world within our communities and how we are not participating. So please take this opportunity to voice your opinion, because, you know, the three of us, we can go on for days talking about these issues that our community is being confronted with. So, Brother Bilal, that's what I wanted to say to the audience. So go right ahead.
Thank you, Sister Aisha. Brother Aziz, I'm gonna let you go for a while, because you know me. Next thing you know, I've been accused of picking up all the show. So
well, when we first started out, we were talking about bringing the banks, you know, some financial institutions back into our neighborhoods. And primarily down south in the further southern states, the Carolinas and Georgia and on down Alabama, Mississippi, in those neighborhoods, there's still a lot of real estate available for African-American financial institutions set up there, a bank, as opposed to in some of the bigger populated cities, well, in some of them. We have a bank in Washington, D.C., Industrial Bank. And it's been in the African-American neighborhood for many a year. This bank, however, doesn't have the same amount of participation as other banks do when it comes to its members and, you know, customer base. So sometimes it's based on how the financial institution is willing to loan out money. If you don't have a lot of depositors, then perhaps you don't have the same money as one of these big chain banks. And it was mentioned before that perhaps some of these ministers from these mega churches, these African-American ministers from these mega churches, could talk to their people, their membership, and advise them, you know, to participate in bringing the money back into the community. But it seems like this is not what's going on, because we do know that that's where a lot of our money go, outside of the material things that our people buy. That when it comes to those charitable donations, that these mega churches, they have exceptional amounts of money they take in every month, and they put this money into Caucasian banks, not banks that.
Brother Aziz, listen.
Yes.
Our Christian brothers and sisters take the lead in our community. There's no doubt about that. But remember, there are millions of African American Muslims out here now. And they are putting their monies into that same bank that we're pointing the fingers at our sisters and brothers, Christian sisters and brothers. Let's stop pointing the fingers. And let's start being proactive, all of us, because, again, when they start talking about stealing your monies that you put into the banks, and when the banks don't have any more credibility, it don't make no difference whether you're a black Christian or a black Muslim. You both have been ripped off.
Yep.
You both have been ripped off. And so I am saying there is no reason for us to get robbed. Why wait for a Lone Ranger to come in his mask telling you he's a good man? No, he's a thief. And the way you stop is you come up, in this case, the way you stop the thiever, and you come up with your own black business plan and take it back to your community. You see, again, redlining and the federal government, our federal government has been a cause of our destruction for when it comes to so many things. Our federal government is our biggest enemy. I mean, white supremacy is one thing. But now when it's like your own federal government, the government that you go off and fight and give your lives for, all of the veterans that we fought for in Vietnam and all the other black veterans, and who are the ground? They're just there. There was nothing to say that their fighting was honorable for anything, because, again, no one is sharing into the financial stimulations of this country, other than white folks. Why isn't, when it comes to the Federal Reserve and the Federal Exchange Commission, they know where your deposits are coming from. That's their job. When the money is coming to those clearance houses and the monies have been cleared, now it goes to that Federal Exchange Commission officer. His job is to send monies back into the communities where the deposits came from. You see any monies come back into our communities? And like I said, we're sending in more than $200 billion a month. How much is coming to the Federal Exchange? And it's right over there in Baltimore. Ain't that far away? They couldn't have forgotten about you. No, brothers and sisters, like I said, and like I said, we have to save ourselves, really. We have to really save ourselves. And I don't see the emergency of doing it. Because when I say I'm looking at it as a financial plan, and I'm saying if I was in the hospital, I would be on life support with a situation going on like this. And that's where our community is at right now. We're literally at life support. And if we don't do something, it's going to be a disaster. And that's what our dear sister, that's all, and she, you know, she's, that's what she'll be taking, she'll be discussing disasters in a few moments. But right now, we're talking about preventing a disaster. And this is called a financial disaster. And like I said, the biggest ones that we need to support immediately is our farmers. Those Black Farmers Association, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you would think that we all would be going collectively in our pockets and saying, how many thousands of dollars can we send the Black farmers so they can be productive this year? Because we need the produce right now. Why do you think the supermarkets can control the prices so well? Well, I'll tell you why the supermarkets can control your prices. Is because the white farmers in this country, when they do their produce, when they after they their fields are ready for cultivation, that you go out there and you're going to see these great big tractor trailer trucks pulling up, and they're going to be filling up the grain and all the other produce into these great big old tractor trailer trucks. And these trucks are going to pull right from the farmer's ground, and he's going to be taking it right back to the markets, the wholesale markets. You, as a community consumer of that community, a consumer of food, you don't have no control whatsoever of all of the farming activities you see going on in your community. Because it's going to go right from the ground, and like I said, it's on the big trucks, and the big trucks is going to take it to the wholesalers, and the wholesalers is going to take it to Wall Street, and that's why. And then when it goes to Wall Street and the wholesalers, then we'll set the prices. Yeah, we know you won't have any eggs, so eggs are $6. You need some tomatoes. Yeah, tomatoes is about the same. It's to the point where you are allowing them. You're allowing them to really starve you to death. And why I'm saying you're allowing it, because if we had our own Black farmers, now we can make our own business plans. We don't have the big trucks pulling up. The Black farmers are not a part of that wholesale market. No, the Black farmers want to produce, and they want to sell right back to the Black communities. They're waiting to do it. That's why you support them. They don't have the money. The government done ripped them off. Matter of fact, they're losing their lands because the government pretends, well, I'm going to grant you this and grant you that, but they ain't granting them nothing. They're sending them 1099, telling them that there was a business transaction done. Now that you, we done cut you caught up transaction. Pay back, we're going to confiscate your land. Brothers and sisters, we're on life support. Our mics are open.
Yeah.
Again, if you can hear me, I can hear you. And I got plenty to say. I'm going to ask you, what are your comments?
I was going to say, Brother, also, we've got to tell our listeners that we've also got to supply them. As well as tell them the number to call to the White House to address Joe Biden about settling with all the Black farmers right away, or his reelection is definitely in jeopardy. This is something, you know, this is something they've got to listen to and hear, and we got to get our listeners to get all of them in the community, the masjids and the churches or the synagogues where we have African-American members, to get this message to Joe Biden that we want this settled as soon as possible. soon as possible, because it's very important that these people just don't get what you and I went down to the protest they had there, and had it not been for primarily the people that came up on the two buses, there was no participation hardly from the D.C. community itself. And you know, they should have had more support from the D.C. community than a couple, yet no more than maybe 10 of us from the D.C. community, period. And I'm just taking a speculating guess. I only met one other brother from the community here in D.C. That's the guy that we met from the USDA, Brother Wright, that was on last week. Other than that, we didn't have the support because this wasn't made an announcement by, i.e., our leadership. We found out about it because of Imam Talib Sharif, but we have other big organizations around too, NAACP, you know, different groups that could have told the community, let's go out and support these guys. So these are the people we got to address too, because those black farmers, that is business. And I was going to say, when it comes to commodities, whatever the black farmer is growing, their product is put on a commodities unless they're doing business with us specifically. Wherever they go, it's already been a price set for what they're going to be able to get for their product unless they're offering something different in that way. And this is something that goes out, a list that goes out for those commodities from the USDA as well as the Commerce Department when it comes to the seafood, the fisheries and that. They have a price list that comes out every morning, every a.m. morning, that lists what the prices are for the different commodities, the potatoes, whatever they are, by the bushels or the pounds, as well as the meat products, and then I say as well as the seafood products. So a lot of those things, our people are kind of they're kind of have to put into that situation wherein, unless we're doing business among ourselves, they have to accept that price. Or people that want a good product, of course, they're paying more. But that's the bottom price that is going out for the day. And this is what you can get from somebody that's willing to supply you. If they're supplying sweet potatoes for 85 cents a pound, I'm just putting that up there, then you could buy them. But it depends on the quality of the product. And what we've seen over the past, you know, African-American farmers, they produce some top quality products. And there's Black Farmers App online that you could go look at. And this Black Farmers App shows different African-Americans that's farming from 1 acre crop to 300 or 400 acre crops. And they, in most recent times, they were showing the different collard greens and kale, and carrot crops and potato crops, sweet potato crops, that they had grown from, you know, been growing over the winter months and was still digging up. And now it's time for the new crops to come in, the spring crops or the summer crops. And when they go to grow these crops, yeah, they want a market to take them to, right, you know, and not just grow their crops and then have to settle for the low price of the commodity price, whatever that price is for, because at this point they're trying to get rid of some products just to be able to not lose all their money that and time and effort that they put into this. So that's something that we as a community just need to let the White House know that, or President Joe Biden know that these farmers need to be taken care of like that, because if so, meanwhile, us making the connection to provide an outlet for them to bring stuff into our community also, at least they'll be able to compete with the other farmers and get their products to different buyers with, you know, with, without a problem, because that's another thing, getting it to the buyers. If they don't have the transport, then the buyer doesn't, is not going to go pick it up and bring it to their location. So all these things are, you know, are considerations when what the black farmers have to deal with, and in order to make it. It's just not growing their stuff. It's transporting it to the buyer and finding a buyer, or taking it where all the other farmers are taking and getting, you know, and getting paid well for that. But they haven't been taken care of in that manner, and that's where we come in, primarily marketing and networking African American businesses, and the farmers are one of the top things on our list right now, as well as establishing businesses or businesses that's in the community that exist. We say, people, if you know of some, even if you aren't in business and you listen to our program, then go tell that business person about our program and come listen to the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association and what we have to offer. We have a lot to offer. And one of the other programs we have, and one of the other programs that we have to offer is the second portion of our program about disaster preparation, preparing for a disaster that nobody knows when it's going to happen. These scientists can give us a pretty good calculation in that, but they don't know when a suspect earthquake is going to hit Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, New Jersey, or any of these places around close where we just weren't expecting nothing to happen. And boom, there it happens. When it happens, a dam that wasn't no one suspected might burst, along with everything else that goes along at that time. Then are we prepared for that? And it's a necessity to be prepared for these type of things. I was telling my wife, I said, you know what, honey? You know, we have to remember this. Whenever we hear something coming up besides preparing food, and in case we just have to get away like a hurricane and we're going to get away, you know, be sure we take some important documentation with us so that, we can show this to FEMA, to get the numerous type of funds they will give out to people that own the home and things like that. And this is information that I learned from my disaster prevention disaster preparation program to our listening audience. And I thought that was very important to me, to be sure that we know where, when we run out the house, we got all our bills with us. Even though, if you have an internet connection or whatever, you can prove something like that if you pay your bills out of your bank account. Then there's a list of how you pay your bills. So that's proof right there that you were someone that had bills and had ownership.
Thank you.
These are the things that I was talking about, but I'm going to turn it over to Yusuf Aisha, the one who is the owner and child and teacher of our second part of our program, disaster prevention. And
we're going to close out our business program appropriately. Then we're definitely going to go right on over to our disaster, because that is the other half of our program. But right now, we really need to give a closing on the importance of African Americans growing businesses in their community, because again, and the banking and the financial institutions that's going, because like I said, you got robbers, crooks, the multitudes. And when you mention that word commodities, you see, commodities is a marketing. A commodity, that's that the marketing. And in order for African Americans to deal anything as far as commodities, we have to set up our own business plans. We're not in a position to set up any business plans because we don't have any businesses in our communities. You're absolutely right. We should be controlling our own. If there's going to be a commodity, and there is commodities, all types of commodities, and one of our biggest ones is our farmers. But all of our commodities should be a business plan that we as African Americans formulated. And the reasons we can formulate it is because we're becoming industrialized in our own communities. So, again, we must bring economical development into our own black communities. And so with that said, and like I said, I could go on and on in order to get our entire program because the disaster program is a continuing voice that we do voice. But brothers and sisters, don't take lightly about this banking situation. We need our own we must have our own financial institutions. But until we get those financial institutions, one of the first investments that we should be making is to the black farmers. And if we have a Black Farmers Association, we need to get it on our website and mention it on our website. Brothers and sisters, go to New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association.com. I repeat, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association.com. That's our brand new website. And that website, we need to bring on. We don't have our Farmers Association. There's a lot of associations that are not on our website that we look forward to putting on there after our listeners start participating and start going to our website. And that's New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association.com. So with that said, I will again give the audience a chance to respond to our closing arguments. If not, if they don't have any response, then we're going to certainly send it over to Sister Aisha. And thanks, Brother Aisha.
Brother Bilal, when you close out, close this portion out, close out what you started with. Remember what you changed it up to, what we said we were going to send a thanks out to?
Oh, yeah, ain't no doubt about it. Our females, the African-American, this is African-American female month, but it's for a work
concern. Yeah.
African-American females, because that's the ones that I don't know how to give thanks to. I really
that's
don't know
right.
how to give
that's
thanks
right.
to. If it wasn't for our females, our communities, though, would have been finished years ago because, again, our females, as far as I am concerned, they've been robbed. And who they've been robbed by? They've been robbed by their own brothers. Brothers who have become millionaires.
Right.
Millionaires from going to contracts worth hundreds of millions of dollars. But before they became millionaires, and they was living in the black communities with us, the sisters was quite attractive. But soon as they got off to these white universities and thought, and seeing the white woman as his wife, his mate, his family, our sisters has been robbed. These millions of dollars they deserve to be millionaires right along with these brothers that they took care of so many long. So sisters, we love you. We appreciate you. So,
we love y'all. We appreciate y'all.
And yes, if there is any comments, our mics are open. We welcome your comments. If not, Sister Aisha, you'll be the next voice we'll hear.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, I really like this conversation of the financial situation that we as a people are in. And I want to tell you about another disaster that's headed our way. And now we call this disaster gentrification, but the culprit, that's the name that we have been given to deal with. But that doesn't tell the true story or the whole story. This new disaster that we are headed to It's not necessarily an environmental disaster, but it was partly perpetrated by a financial, environmental disaster. But this one is called the mega landlord disaster of utilizing. We have these mega landlords that are buying up houses throughout the world, actually, and especially in America, and they are using these houses to rent back to the people. These are the people who are middle class, lower middle class, a lot of minorities, but just not minorities, whites also. So they will buy up blocks of houses that come on the market. They are financed by private equity firms and groups. And these mega landlords, we're going to have to watch them. We're going to have to be very careful with what's taking place in these communities. These are organizations such as J.P. Morgan Chase, Blackstone, pension funds from the states, from the companies, insurance companies. Now, it saddens me that pension funds are part of this, because when you have mega landlords buying up houses to rent back to the people, because the people have either lost their homes because of, some, in some cases, natural disaster or economic downswings. When you have this situation occurring, you're going to have more people who become homeless, because the mega landlords, their primary objective is to make money. They will control the rents. The rents will constantly increase. And if you cannot pay your rent, you're going to be homeless. You're going to have more families that are homeless. And so our pension funds are actually contributing to what we see coming our way. And pension funds are the money of the people that put their money into the fund, and the fund is going to put them on the street. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. So the objective of these mega landlords, and this is a disaster headed our way. Their objective is to transform a large population of homeowners into renters.
Yep.
To gridlock the housing market, and future generations become dependent on these rental properties for basic shelter. We thought that when we started seeing gentrification, that it was just people moving across country. Well, because they wanted cheaper properties. Well, in the community I live in, we did a survey. We found out, and I also, as other communities throughout the area of North Carolina that I live in, we asked them to do a survey, the community people, to do a survey of what's taking place in your community. Some of them have come back to us, some have not, but I believe that more will. They're saying to us, and this is what we found right up the street from where I live and up the street, that the mega landlords are buying these homes, and they are buying these homes. They are outbidding the individual families. When the home go on the market, the family will offer the price, the cost that the seller's asking for it. They outbid the individual families by up to 45% over asking price. They can do it because they are using our money to do it with. So they are taking control of these homes. They are putting a little money for some of them into renovation, and the others they are leaving as is. Because we know Blackstone, we know their history. They are slum lords. They don't fix up their properties, and they own properties all around the world. But we are contributing, or we have contributed, in our pension funds, in our stock that we own in a very large corporation, to the increase in homeless population in America and globally. So this is a global issue, but we're talking about America. And we're looking at one of the areas that they have targeted already to acquire over $1 billion of what they call build-to-rent properties. They will build you, and they will rent you the properties. And that focus area right now is the Atlanta urban region, Atlanta, Georgia. So once again, this is a disaster that we have got to start looking at, and I don't have the answers because we're pulling up the data. And this is mass acquisition of single-family rental homes, not just in Atlanta, but across America, in the European and Asian Pacific regions of the world as well. And this is how these financial institutions are developing an expanded market to extract as much profit as possible and to support their own needs. So if you have noticed this in your communities, please let us know, and let's try to have some conversation in these next few minutes on this issue. If our audience have noticed it, or anyone, let's talk about this. Yes, sir.
Sister Aisha, and you hit it right on the head when you said that the big banks, are outbidding the buyers. And they're using your money to do so. Well, you see, this is what happens when the Trump administration put deregulations out of banks. The average bank out here don't have to worry about any kind of regulations. And now you're seeing the negative effects. It's been building now for quite a while. But now that these banks own so much property and control so much of our communities, because the housing market is so expensive now because of deregulations, and this is the reason, the word deregulation. There was no regulations on these banks to do whatever it is that they're doing. And like I said, they're using your monies. That's why when the depositors went to the bank in Silicon and said, we want to withdraw our monies and pay our employees, pay our debts, and it's tax season, we got a lot of taxes to pay, the bank said, we don't have the cash on hand. Why? Because they have put so much into markets all over the world, all over the United States and especially Europe, until your cash that you need to withdraw, we don't have that kind of cash in-house. Well, we deposit the monies in-house. Why isn't it in-house? There was no regulations to say that I had to keep your monies and deposits. I could do anything I wanted to do with your monies, and this is what has happened. This is what I mean about we don't know what the situation is going to be with the credibilities of our banks as we speak, because the damages has already been done and it's being felt as we talk. That's what I mean about saying our communities is on life support. And I can't stop using the word enough. we're in danger.
Mm-hmm. And the only we're in serious danger.
Save ourselves is to come back out of these integrated communities and start building our own financial institutions in our own communities. And you must start with two entities, and that is we need banks, some sort of financial place to put our funds until we can get the banks, but we need to immediately start taking these monies out of white banks because they're using your monies against you, and they're even forcing now, like you said, 401Ks. That's the only way most folks are not being evicted as we speak because they're dipping into their 401Ks because they can use what is called a hardship, and losing your home is a hardship. So it's some dirty stuff going on out here in these markets, and I'm not in the market. Caucasians are doing this. And this business of going to Joe Biden knows this, all about this. As a matter of fact, Joe Biden's son may have a whole lot to do with a whole lot of this and some of his business dealings. Remember Joe Biden, this African-Americans. That's the reason I voted for Joe Biden, because so many of my brothers and sisters hollered for Biden, and we want Biden, we want something. I went along with the majority. But Joe Biden, he has a beautiful smile, and he can give you an explanation if you want to sit there and believe it. But there is no explanation. There is no explanation for taking hundreds of billions of dollars out of one neighborhood, and the currency doesn't come back to that neighborhood, and there's no financial institutions to send that currency to. That is a disgrace. And so, again, whoever they want to be my president, if they ain't talking about currency, monies for the black communities, because it's my monies, they ain't giving me nothing. I have to pay a whole bunch of taxes this year, and I know there are many, many other African-Americans. I know right in my family here, we be paying out heavy amounts of taxes in my household. But again, what is there to show for our returns? And I'm sick and tired of being robbed. I am actually pissed off, and I think most of us should be. So this business of being in touch with Joe Biden, you tell Joe Biden, yeah, call Joe Biden. And tell Joe Biden, as far as we're concerned, he's finished. We don't even want his promise. If we don't see action, because we've already written you off for this, we already know that you ain't no good for our communities. The only thing you can do for our communities is talk about, I'm going to give you a few more dollars for cost of living, but the cost of living is three or four more times than what you're giving me. So it ain't nothing but continuing poverty for someone who's putting in, who is contributing trillions of dollars to the white economics. I'm sick of it. I am sick of it.
Well, you know, we know that there is, I heard today, and I haven't been able to do the research on this, but maybe if you all in the audience or know a little bit more about it, I was told today that there is a pilot plan or a plan that the federal government has come up with that will allow these mega landlords and other large corporations, give them the ability to track and even control the checking account of the individuals, including all of your financial transactions. And I understand that this is slated to take place in America as soon as May. Now, if that is the case, these mega landlords will have access to your individual financial data, all of it, which allows them to screen their applicants using income, gender, social engagement, every other variable, as including race and age. And so we're talking about a society where we all become slaves, not just the color of our skin, but we all will become slaves to these mega landlords. They can increase the rent. They can do whatever they want because we will be absolutely beholden to them, or we will more than likely be homeless. Because in America, we have a shortage of over 4 million homes today in America. So there are going to be a lot of homeless people and families.
And like you said, it's not a black and white issue. It's not a black,
not a black and white issue. It's a black issue.
Because they play they play that racist card on low-income folks. And like I said, most of your low-income are white folks and black folks. The majority of this country is low-income. And if the majority of this country, most of them are not college, well-educated. They play on your intelligence, and they use you. They use that race card to have you thinking that I'm better off, I'm a better person, but you're just as broke as a white man and have nothing just like the black man. And as long as you two keep on believing this stupid race stuff, and believe in these politicians who don't care nothing at all about neither one of you, black or white, then we all going to go down. And I ain't going to say we, because I'm going to try to do something about it myself. I'm going to try to hold on to my monies and be in control of it as much as I possibly can. And it would be very reassuring if I thought that we had our own banks where we would be making our own business plans. And like I said, our farmers, we must go in our pockets. We can't wait on Joe Biden on this one. We got to support our farmers. And on our New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association.com, that's our new website. Please go to it. New Africa Business Association. No, New Africa Black Wall Street Business Association.com. Let me say it again. New Africa Black Wall Street Business Association.com. Go to that website. And first of all, we need memberships. We ain't going to be able to stay on this station. We'd have been on it for 8 years now, brothers and sisters. We've incorporated. There's incorporation fees. There are incorporation taxes. There are fees for the station. There are, I mean, all kinds of fees. We've been paying these fees now for 8 years. And I'm going to tell you, we just can't keep doing it because it's breaking us. But so we need you to join in on keeping a value, because if we're not talking about this, where else are you going to get this type of information? Where else are you going to get someone telling you how to save yourself from financial disasters and natural disasters? So, again, our mic's open, brothers and sisters. If you can hear us, we can hear you, and we're certainly interested in what you have to say. Sister Aisha, our mics are open. I'm going to turn it back to you.
Thank you. And we want to hear from you, you all. You all have great ideas. You can help us here. And if you have a question and we need to do a little research to get the answer, we're happy to do it, because that's what we do. So if you have statements you would like to make, please do make them. Maybe we said something that you don't particularly agree with it, and that's fine. We really do like to know that there's another opinion, and it might be extremely valid. So you have a right to do that. So we invite you to make your comments. And I want to say that the home prices, according to Standard & Poor's, since from 2020 to 2022, went up 45%. this is data from Standard & Poor's, and they are somewhat legitimate. They are good reference. Went up 45%. That being the case, folks, who's going to be able to afford to buy a house?
Yeah.
Other than these mega landlords.
And another thing these folks of is that, like you say, Standard & Poor's, AM Best, Moody's, these are your rating companies of financial institutions and banks.
That's right.
And these banks right now have some of the lowest ratings. And, I mean, you've never seen ratings of financial institutions this low. And anytime you start getting low ratings from these reporting agencies, you, our country, is in a real bad situation. A real, real bad situation because your bank should not be getting C ratings and D ratings and B minus ratings. These are ratings, when these kind of ratings come from financial institutions, you need to be very cautious of where you're putting your monies. Brothers and sisters, we need to start opening our own financial institutions in our own communities, and you need to go to your leaders and demand, rather than building these mega this and mega that, we need to start building mega businesses in our communities, and starting with financial institutions and starting with supporting these black farmers, because we must have these farmers in order to have a food. So, again, our mics are open. We have a few more moments. If you can hear us, we certainly are interested in what you have to say. Our mics are open.
We would love to hear from you, and we hope that you continue to listen to us every week. And when you get the urge, say something to us. Whether you like what we're saying or don't like what we're saying, we are open to hear your comments, your suggestions. And, folks, I tell you, when we talk about the black farmers, we've done this before. We have a history as African-American people of the farmers bringing their produce to the different cities. I grew up in an area many, many years ago, and the farmers in Florida would always bring their watermelons by the large truckloads up to western North Carolina, and they were sold in the community, right in the community. People had small stands in their front yard, you know, but they sold the produce that the farmers brought up. So we have a history of this in our community, not just in my community, but in many other communities. So we can do it. We just need someone. We need the public. We need you all who are listening. Put a plan together in your community and then let us know about it. And let us try to help you make contact, you know. So our mics are open to you. We have just a few more minutes left, and we would like very much to hear from you.
As I have said before,
other countries are listening to us. I don't know why you all are not talking. And even tonight, some of the same countries that have been listening to us for months, such as Zimbabwe and Russia, Canada, France, Tanzania, East Africa, India, Kenya, Mozambique, South Africa, Ghana, the UK, Portugal, Tunisia. These countries are listening to us, and they would not continue to listen unless they were benefited from it. And we know that some people are spying on us. That's okay. But they are listening because they are in trouble as well. This mega landlord, this is a global effort. So if we can come up with some suggestions to save ourselves in America, they are listening. They want to know how we're going to do it. So please do join us and let us know what you're thinking. So our mics are open. Go ahead, Brother Bilal.
And most of all, go to our new website. It was just published a couple of days ago, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association.com. New Africa Business Association, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association.com. And just like the sister was saying, our statistics are showing we are being heard now almost all around the world. So again, our website is going to be published all around the world. Brothers and sisters, do you know, those of you now that are in business, you can now go to our website and you can publish your business on our website, and you're going to be seen and heard all around the world. Going on our business directories, going on our shopping centers where you can display your goods and services. Now's the time. We put all of this together for you. We paid a lot of money to put this together for you. Now the services are here for you because some of the things
that's
we
right.
consider doing, we use professionals. You're saying that the average person may not be able to consider doing business like this on their own. So we have experts. All of us are experts. So we know what we're talking about. So, again, join us. Go to Black Belt. Go to New Africa Black Belt Business Association .com. New Africa Black Belt Wall Street. I'm sorry, I done said it so much and there got me saying it wrong, but New Africa Wall Street Business Association.
Yeah, New Africa Black Belt Business Association Wall Street.
And let me
New
tell
Africa
it,
Black.
Yeah. No, go right
there.
Let me tell you this. Let me tell the audience this. I'm in business. I have two websites, an information site and an e-commerce site. It has cost thousands and thousands of dollars for those to have those sites built, and it costs hundreds and thousands of dollars monthly to maintain them because I have to get companies to maintain them. So we're talking about $50 for $50, and these two men for years, before I came on the scene, they stepped up to the table and used their resources. And they're saying, come on board with us because we can provide you with a resource. And it's only $50.
Yes.
Come on, folks. Come on.
And not only that, you can advertise.
Absolutely. Thank
you. Business people know you from all over the world now. So join us. Black Belt Wall Street, New Africa Business Association.com. We look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to your membership.
Yeah.
And we're coming up on to our last couple of minutes. So, again, Sister Aisha, Brother Aziz, we'll ask the audience again if there's any comments you'd like to make. You got about a minute to do so. But until then, we're going to be saying good night in a couple more minutes. If not, then, sisters, I want to go out with a little music. And like I said, this one is just for you.
Hey. All right. I'm going to let go. Go ahead, Brother Bilal.
Thank you.